pray with me? God, bless these tithes and offerings, that they may heal and make whole the lives of all your children. And bless those who give and those who long to give, that we may become living stones of mercy, grace, and justice in the house of your creation. Amen. Please be seated. There is a tradition in ancient literature of farewell speeches. Plato writes of Socrates' farewell to his disciples. In the Hebrew Testament, Jacob calls his sons together to offer last instructions and blessings before he dies. And Joshua encourages his people, seeking to remind them of the blessings of the past and the events, and then to look forward to what lies ahead. King David praises God when he hands off the rule of his people to his son Solomon. And why Moses has a whole book, the whole book of Deuteronomy, to share his departing guidance to the people he has led through the wilderness for 40 years. So why not Jesus, thinks the writer of John's Gospel? Why not Jesus? And so with the 14th chapter of the fourth gospel, Jesus' goodbye speech to his followers seated there around the Passover table begins. Listen in the words to the way Jesus sees what his disciples cannot see, either because of their mere humanity over against his divine vision or because of their denial about what must happen next. They have waited long for this Messiah. They have relied on the promises and courage of this Messiah. They have expected this Messiah to triumph over evil and oppression and to live forever. So as they listen to this farewell speech, it slowly sinks in that it is not just his life that is about to be changed, but theirs as well. And they are anxious and confused. You may not know that in the text, just prior to today's passage, the Apostle Peter has asked Jesus where Jesus thinks he's going. And Peter has been told that he, Peter, can't follow yet. And so when Thomas asks a very similar question in today's passage about where and how, he is told to focus on God, to focus on I am, to focus on the Father. So Philip wants to see this Father so that he knows who and what he's following after. Look at me, is Jesus' response. You've seen everything you need. And that's the piece of this passage that I hope you'll focus on this morning, rather than the words that are often used triumphally to command a belief in Jesus, the familiar, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As you hear those words, temper them with your memory of the beginning of this gospel, that in him was life for all people. Consider the radical inclusion that from the beginning in him was true light that enlightens everyone, which unfolds only through gradual and imperfect recognition. It is the way he lives, the way he prays, the way he treats people, the way he trusts God that we seek to follow and emulate, that will reveal God's true life to us and through us. The one who is close to God's heart makes God known, whether that close one is Jesus or the disciples or you or I. This piece of Jesus' farewell reveals the conviction of a religious minority at the turn of the first century in the Christian era. And it is in these words, the scholar Gardner Taylor writes, that a way is made open for God's children through life's hardness and harshness, its pain and its penalties, its fears and its failings. These are words to encourage, to remind, to draw close, and to invite others near to the heart of God. Words of one who will accept the great price of faith and trust that there is more than the mind can know or the eye can see. Words offered to those Jesus loves best, which in the end is everyone. Reminders to stay close alongside. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You will do as I do and more. I am the way you know, the truth within, the life you have known around and within you. So listen now for the word of God as it may come to you in these opening and perhaps familiar words of John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the children to come down. Good morning. How are you? It's good to see so many of you this morning. I have a question. I'm going to preach a sermon. I'm going to talk about families. How do we tell when people are in the same family? What are some of the ways that we could tell that people are in the same family? What's one way we might know? Sometimes they look alike, don't they? Sometimes they look alike, don't they? What's another way? They might have the same last name, but you know what? You have the same last name that I do, but we're not in the same family. I never knew anybody with that last name who wasn't in my family until I met your family. But that is a good way. What's another way? Do you notice that sometimes families' voices sound alike sometimes? Or they act the same? or they live in the same house. Often they live in the same house, but not all the time. Sometimes families live in more than one house, right? Sometimes they do things the same way. They laugh at the same jokes. They have names for each other, right? Nicknames that they know. How do people know? How would people know who's in a church family? Well, they would be people who go to church. What else? How would people know who's in this church family? How would people know who's in this church family? How would they know? The things that you do together, what else? They might wear the same cool name tags. Or they might not. Do you know we're going to have some new people come to this church family? Sooner rather than later. We don't know exactly when, but we're going to have new pastors come, right? I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave. And some new people are going to come. And when they come to visit, which may be sooner rather than later, how are they going to know you in the church family? What's going to help them a really lot? How? What? Name tags, right? You're going to go up to them and you're going to shake their hand and they're going to meet 200 people on the same day and they're not going to remember you very well. But if they have your name tag, they are. I just noticed I have something special on my name tag. Something I didn't see before. What is that? Do you know what that's for? Do you know what that is? Have any of you ever had that? You have to wear your name. Have you had one, Alex? Did you get one of those? What happened when you got one of those? You had to help clean up. Thank you for helping to clean up. That's something that families do together. But I think there was supposed to be something else. I love children's stories. I always learn things. Do you know what? What? You got a present. I think you got a present. But you have to wear your name tag. You have to wear your name tag. Should we ask everybody to please wear their name? Do you know everybody here? Everybody in your church family? Do you know everybody? It would be helpful if they would wear their name tag, wouldn't it? So I'm going to keep asking people to wear their name tags. I understand that Pastor Bill asked all your names last week, and I'm sure it would have been helpful for you. Thank you very much, Genevieve. Thank you very much, Jacob. Thank you very much, Alex. You guys have your name tag. You've all got one. But you're holding on to it. That's good. It's near your body. So we tell about families in all different ways. Sometimes we look alike. Sometimes we don't look alike. Sometimes we sound alike. Sometimes we don't sound alike. Sometimes we have the same last name. There might be twins. We have some of those in our church, don't we? Just a few. And we also like to open our families to be welcoming of other people. So that's what we want to be here, and the name tags help us do that too. Will you say a prayer with me, and then we'll sing this beautiful little hymn. Thank you, God, for giving us a name, which is the same name. It's your name. It's Christian. Thank you, God, for giving us things to do together as a family. And thank you for reminding us that our family is always open and that one of the ways that we welcome people in is by sharing our names. In Jesus' name, amen. pray with me? We, your children, wait upon you, God, to hear your word, to feel your presence, to see the way. We pray that in this time you will make yourself known to us, and that in time you will make yourself known through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start this morning by conjuring up three different pictures for you. The first is about, I think, everybody here in this room, who at some time or other has probably looked into the mirror or heard herself speak or watched himself move and realized, oh, I just saw my mother, or that was my dad talking. And I imagine that even if you were adopted, that this could happen, because we take on the appearance and the words and the actions and even the biorhythms of the people with whom we share our households and our lives. And even if you, like I, swore up and down as an adolescent that the countless things that your parents did that riled you were things you were never going to do, never going to say, we cannot save ourselves from those family resemblances, even if we engage in the lifelong task, working hard to leave some things behind, to move behind certain things, they still lurk inside us. Our traits reveal the families that we come from. Now, the second picture comes to you from Facebook, which I have to confess I spent more than a few hours exploring during my time away from you. One of the most fascinating little videos that I watched was about a couple of twins, two beautiful young women. The mother is biracial, black and Caucasian, and their father is white. And the twins, well, one of them is a beautiful, statuesque, frizzy-haired, brown-skinned, brown-eyed extrovert, and her sister is red-haired, green-eyed, and very, very fair. She's also an introvert. So you find in these two sisters the family resemblances of both parents and also the history of the breadth of their biological lineage. Families can reveal such variety within them. Which then leads me to my third vignette. This time I want you to picture my former neighbor and running buddy, who is a young dad shopping with his children, his two children in the grocery store. They are wandering down the cereal aisle. The dad and the son are checking out the cereal boxes together, and the daughter is dawdling down somewhere near the Pop-Tarts. And another shopper walks up to this little girl, very anxious that she has wandered off from her parents. My friend, you see, is white, and his biological son is also white, and his adopted daughter is not. Now, Margot, who is shy with this stranger and very perplexed by this interaction, runs down the aisle to her father and declares loudly, with the passion of a 3-year-old, "This is my daddy! Why can't anybody see my daddy?" She sounds to me a little bit like Jesus with his friend Philip. "What do you mean, show us the father? You've seen me. Doesn't that reveal the look and the feel of my family? How can you say, show us the father?" Now, the NRSV uses a question mark in its translation with that last question, but I think that an exasperated exclamation point may be missing there. With all he has and is, with every breath, every look, every word, every step and touch and whisper and reaction, Jesus betrays his family resemblance. God is always in the mix, breathing life, revealing light, speaking truth, inviting relationship, seeking healing, braving reconciliation, extending freedom, offering hope. When water transforms to wine, when a great crowd is fed by resources that at first appear to be insufficient, when outcasts are embraced and sins forgiven and brokenness repaired, the saving history of a God-descended family is being made manifest over and over again, the past becoming present and pointing into the future. So when righteous anger flips over tables and scatters coins and disperses animals, when dividing walls are stepped around or over or even through, despite law and muscle and armaments, when trial and torture and murder and the moldering of the grave are braved and overcome, the resemblance of the Son to the Father is brought to light. One mind, one body, one purpose. We are a part of this God family, you and I. By birth, by adoption, by choice, by conviction, by accident, by some miracle. We have been born, invited, welcomed, embraced, given a good name. We have been schooled in the stories, immersed in the ethos, taught by example. We are offered the gifts and enlightened by the wisdom of experience and charged as fellow travelers and bearers of hope to reveal our family resemblances to matriarchs and patriarchs, to prophets and poets, to a carpenter's son and to farmers and fisher folk, to Christ followers and brave martyrs and quiet witnesses, God's people. We have stepped forward to take on the family name of Jesus, presider at the table, farewell speaker, miracle worker, healer, peacemaker, justice seeker, and amazing preacher, this child of God. And as he is with God and of God and in God, as God the parent shines in and around and through him as clear as day, and so it is with us. We're family. So how does the world see this family through us? Is it in our weekly gathering for worship to praise something greater than ourselves in song and word and silence? Is it in quiet moments of prayer when we pause to say thanks, to say help, to say stretch me, to say remind me of all that is good and true and beautiful? Is it the times we laugh together in delight at the world around us and also over the absurdity of so many human interactions? Is it the power of our shared grief about the loss of loved ones and the unfathomable number of hungry children in our community and the cruelty of our acquiescence to poverty and systemic ignorance and war? Is it our courage to speak the truth we understand to power, to stand with others people shun or vilify or blame or long to just ignore? Is it when we brave ridicule for proclaiming that in the beginning and the end, love wins, that there is room in the heart of God for every person and creature, that death is not the last word, that a different way is possible. If the world cannot see our daddy, if people around us are surprised that we look different from others in our family, or that there are some who pray or eat or dress or think or vote differently and they can be from the same lineage, or if we do not hear the voice of Jesus or his parents, both earthly and divine, speaking through us in all we say and do, then we have some work to do. But we have the gift of today, and God willing, tomorrow and the next day and the next, to live into who we are and whose we are with untroubled hearts and profound trust that God can and will use us, that God can and will open our eyes and our hands and our lives so that not only in us is seen, but also that through us we can see God in the awesome and wondrous breadth of the human family, as well as in the tiniest shoots where life breaks in. Just like in the time of those disciples, these are days when the faith that is in us can sustain us, sisters and brothers, and it can empower us to reach out into the world with love and confidence in holy possibility. So let's not miss a beat of the heart of God's hope stirring within us. God's family. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? We are mindful and we are grateful, O God, of the way you come to us with mothering courage and love. We think of that image of the mother eagle who protects all the eaglets in the nest with her wings, offering safety. And also how she pushes them out of that nest, trusting they can fly and be the family they have been created to be and go out and spread their lives into the world. We thank you this day when we can remember our mothers. Our hearts are with those whose mothers now live with you and no longer with them, and our hearts are also with those of us who may struggle in our relationship with our mothers. And our hearts as well with those who have never been mothers, whether it was their desire or for the countless reasons, painful and unchosen, that mitigated against that. We pray for mothers who are overjoyed in their work and for those who are overwhelmed. We pray with thanksgiving for those who are able to live their lives in community where they have support and encouragement and relief. And we pray for those who are isolated and alone. We pray with all who have mothering qualities, many of whom are men, many of whom are teachers, many of whom are members of our church community or our neighbors or our extended family members or childcare providers who offer nurture and encouragement and discipline. We remember that this day we celebrate was begun as a memorial to peace, And so on this day, we pray not only for the mothers of our compatriots, but also for the mothers of our enemies. And we thank you for all who have set an example of strength and courage, of finding a voice and using it, of acting with truth and justice. We thank you for drawing us into one family. We thank you for reminding us that you are in us and around us and between and among and working through us, drawing us together with Jesus and making us one. And it is in his name and with his words that we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you to all of you who wore your beautiful Mother's Day bonnets today. And thank you to the Pierce family who will be handing out carnations outside of Brink Hall to all the females in the room. And there may even be some left over for others as well. We are mindful of Emily Pierce this morning. As we go forth from this place, let us go forth as one family, God's family. Siblings of the risen Christ, with hope, with courage, and with love. Amen.